तद्बुधयास्तदात्मानास् तान्निष्ठास्तत्परायणा कच्छान्त्या पुनार आवृतम् ज्ञान निर्धूत खल्मसा.
When one's intelligence, mind, faith, and refuge are all fixed in the Supreme, then one becomes fully cleansed of misgivings through complete knowledge, and thus proceeds straight on the path of liberation. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. The Supreme Transcendental Truth is Lord Krishna. The whole Bhagavad Gita centers around the declaration of Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That is the version of all Vedic literature. Paratattva means the Supreme Reality, who is understood by the knowers of the Supreme as Brahman, Paramatma, and Bhagwan. Bhagwan, or the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is the last word in the Absolute Truth. There is nothing more than that. A Krishna conscious person can thoroughly understand that there is duality in Krishna, and equipped with such transcendental knowledge, one can make steady progress on the path of liberation. When one's intelligence, mind, faith, and refuge are all fixed in the Supreme, then one becomes fully cleansed of misgivings through complete knowledge, and thus proceeds straight on the path of liberation. We'd like to very sincerely thank all of you for coming this evening to this wonderful and auspicious atmosphere where we have all come together to hear and to chant the glories and the names of the Supreme Absolute Truth. In this verse of Bhagavad Gita, from the fifth chapter that we are reading tonight, we find that Krishna is explaining that the goal, the conclusion of all knowledge, is the complete cleansing of the mind and the heart of all material misgivings. After all, jnana vijnana tripta atma, theoretical knowledge, without bringing us to the point of becoming pure in heart, it is just like a heavy, heavy burden of a load just resting on our brain. It simply creates all sorts of false ego, and it just, so much mumble jumble of all different ideas, all different concepts, all different philosophies, and it's just so much excess weight, which is nothing but a burden. Therefore, to know simply for the sake of accumulating knowledge, according to Rupa Goswami, is one of the greatest obstacles to spiritual advancement. But yet we find the great acharyas, the great spiritual teachers, they are so filled with so much knowledge, with so much philosophy, and so much realization. But all of that knowledge is simply targeted. It is aimed at cleansing the heart to become the humble servant of the Lord. Mm-hmm. This is Sanatana Dharma, to become the humble servant of the Lord. This is our constitutional position. Jivara Swarupoi Krishnara Nityadas. And this is the conclusion, this is the ultimate summation of all knowledge. Krishna says in Gita, Bahunam Janmanamante Jnanavamam Papadyate Vasudeva Sarvamiti Samahatma Sudurlabaha. Means after many births of cultivating all varieties of knowledge and practicing all varieties of rituals and religious practices, when one ultimately comes to the point of real knowledge, Krishna says, such a person with all humility surrenders to me, knowing me to be the cause of all causes and all that is. Krishna, in the Bhagavad Gita, he is speaking 700 verses, and the greatest theologians and religious scholars of all religions throughout the world have glorified the Bhagavad Gita as the most complete, precise of all spiritual wisdom ever propounded on this earth. And what is the conclusion of the Gita? Sarva dharman parityaja mam ekam sharanam braja aham tvam sarva papevyo moksha ishami masucha. Abandon all varieties of religion. Just surrender to the supreme truth. Surrender to me, Krishna says. And what does it mean to surrender? Surrender means complete, absolute, thorough humility. It means you are everything. I am nothing. Your mercy is all that I am made of. There is nothing but you. Nityo nityanam chetanas chetananam eku bahunam yovritati kaman. That the supreme absolute truth, that one truth, is the support from whom all living beings are eternally depending on. To recognize that we are exclusively dependent on the mercy of God, that we have no independent existence. We cannot breathe unless He supplies air at every second. We cannot see unless He supplies light from the sun at every second. We cannot exist unless He provides the earth that we stand on, the rain that falls from the clouds. We are completely dependent in Krishna. To admit that, you have to become completely full of humility. Because what is pride? Prakrite kriyamanani gunai karamani saravasha ahankara vimutatma karataham iti manyate. That means, that the foolish, bewildered soul thinks himself to be the doer or the knower. But actually, it is all simply being conducted by Krishna, either through material energy or through spiritual energy. If we are grossly materialistic, then everything we have to support ourselves is simply the gifts of material nature. We may think that we are intelligent. Well, did we make our brain? God has given us a brain. And without that brain, we cannot even think one thought. We may think we're very excellent speakers, but have we created the tongue? It is all provided by material nature. And a devotee of the Lord who is seeking spiritual advancement, every step of our spiritual development is only by the grace of God. Ragadveshavamuktaishtu vishayanindriyaishtiranatma vishayabhidheyatma prasadamarigachchati. Krishna says in Gita, this is how spiritual advancement is made, by simply sincerely endeavoring to be the humble servant of the Lord and follow his principles, and follow the principles given by the Guru and the great souls. We attract Krishna's mercy by that endeavor. We cannot cross over this ocean of material existence ourselves. But if we show Krishna that we are sincere, then by his grace, Ananyas chintayanto mam yejana pariupashate tesham nitya vayoktanam yogakshemam vahamyam. He preserves what we have and he carries what we lack. And really, what do we have for him to preserve? Very small. And what do we lack? So much. It's uncalculatable how much we are lacking. But by Krishna's grace, he carries us across the ocean of nescience when he simply sees we are humble and sincere. Those are the two qualifications. It is described that the Lord appears in this world simply to teach us this process. In so many religions, in so many forms, the Lord comes, he sends his son, his prophet, his representatives, simply to teach us the path of humble service. Vairagya vidya nija bhakti yoga shikshashtame ka purusha punana. We must cultivate philosophical knowledge in order to have a proper understanding by which we can proceed without being bewildered by all the temptations of this world. We must become detached. We must give up those things which are contrary to our spiritual development, no matter how much we like them, no matter how much pleasure they give us. We must be willing to give up. And bhakti, we must be willing to be the humble servant of the servant of the servant, which is the culmination of all knowledge and detachment. So in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, it is explained that in this age of Kali Yuga, the Supreme Absolute Truth, the Personality of Godhead, appeared in a wonderful and splendorous form, Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And like the other great incarnations, he has come to teach by his example, to teach by his words, and by performing such wonderful loving activities that he attracts the hearts of all living beings. Especially the Lord comes to attract our hearts, to love him and to serve him. It is described by Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had three different ways that he would appear to his devotees. Three different ways that he would appear to show mercy, to purify the hearts of the fallen and conditioned souls. The first one is Sakshad, then Avirbhava, and then Avesh. Sakshad means when the Lord personally comes in his own divine transcendental form and directly bestows his mercy upon us. During Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Leela 500 years back, we find what kind of an excellent preacher he was, how he somehow or other convinced everyone he came in contact with to be Krishna conscious. And he showed us by his example how we must, if we want to be compassionate and loving preachers of the Lord, the way we must behave. When he was in South India, he was simply traveling down the road, and his arms were raised, and with great love and devotion, he was chanting the holy names. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare. And he would simply induce everyone to just come and join this beautiful chanting. In fact, Srila Prabhupada explains in Chaitanya Charitamrita that the preachers of this Krishna consciousness movement, their aim is not to defeat people by philosophy and argument. Their aim is one, to somehow or other induce people to chant the holy names and become purified and engage in the humble service of the Lord. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu compared himself to be a gardener. He said, I have come to this world like a gardener, and my body is like a tree. And from this tree there are so many fruits, and these are the fruits of love of God. And the sweet juice of these fruits is what everyone is longing and hankering for in this world. And without these sweet fruits of love of God being tasted, the spirit soul has to suffer through so many terrible situations in this world. Janma mrityu jara vyadi dukkha dosha nudarshanam. There is birth, there is old age, there is disease, and there is death. Today, one of our doctors, we were discussing together this. He was saying there's so many problems in this world. There's so much conflict. There's communal riots, and there's terrible diseases, incurable diseases, and there's wars just all over the planet. It's all breaking loose. If we pray, if we really sincerely pray together for peace on earth, perhaps we could make some great effect. I had to speak according to the Shastra and according to all the great saints throughout history. There's no question of peace on earth. It's not possible. Has there ever been peace on earth? Has there ever been a time when there was not envy, conflict, fighting, quarrels, wars, persecution? Why is this? Because even if all the communal riots stop, even if all the deadly diseases are cured, even if everybody shakes hands and says, you're all right, I'm all right. The whole planet. Still, janma mrityu jara vyadi. Everyone is going to have to get old, everyone is going to have to get diseased, and everyone is going to die. And old age, disease, and death is violent. It's terribly violent. This is the planet. This earth, this material world, these material bodies, everything is temporary. Everything must go through the cycle of birth and death. The problems are death. Why do we hate communal riots? Because people die. Why do we hate wars? Because so many people die. But you think if the war stops, people are not going to die? They're still going to die. That's the problem. And this is what Krishna says. The real and only true problems in this world are birth, old age, disease, and death. And this is a planet where the material body is subjected inevitably to birth, old age, disease, and death. It may happen in this form or that form. So, of course, while we're here, we should try to our capacity to create a harmonious, peaceful situation in the world, but it doesn't solve the problem of death, which actually everyone is fearing. There's only one way to get out of this world. As long as we're in this world, we suffer. To get out of this world means no more suffering. In fact, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur gave the example. This world is like a place people go to pass stool. They call it latrine. In America, we don't like to give away the truth about anything. We try to make everything very luxurious sounding. We called it a restroom. Huh? Like, I mean, this is just the opposite of what Bhaktisiddhanta says. Bhaktisiddhanta says, this world is like a storeroom, you take care of your business and you get out. But in the West, due to advanced ways of thinking, storeroom is not a place where you take care of your business and get out. Storeroom is a place where you take nice rest. Therefore, it is called restroom. Huh? And literally, rich people in America, you look next to you, go to their toilet, and next to it they have a library. I'm serious. You have seen. They actually have library. They have all magazines and books. And they close the door and they lock it, and they just have nice rest, and they read, and they study. And, you know, in India you cannot understand these things. I see this. I go to these very beautiful, plush bathrooms with libraries and all sweet-smelling deodorants everywhere. And I just think how lucky those people are on the sides of the railway tracks in India. They have, at least they know that they should just do it and go away. But anyways, Bhaktisiddhanta said like this. Well, what does it mean to get out? When we say, get out of this, if you want to stop suffering, you must get out of this world. It means to get out of the bodily concept of life. That is the only solution to pain. It is the only solution to death. As long as you think you're this body, you have to suffer old age, disease, and death, and there's nothing you can do about it. No matter how much you pray for peace on earth, there's no peace in dying and going old. It's violent. It's beyond our control. But when we realize, I am not this body, not just understand, but realize. When we realize we are the eternal soul, as Jesus Christ said, we are not in this world, but we are not of. We are in this world, but not of this world. To be in this world, but not of this world, means the spiritual conception of life. We are above. We are transcendental to all the miseries which are inevitable. And such a person alone can actually create peace on earth. Because he can enliven and illuminate others to get out of this world by being transcendental to the repetition of birth and death. So as spiritualists, as devotees of God, our prayer is not peace on earth as far as to stop all these things. We would like that to happen, and we'll try our best. But our prayer is that as many people on this earth get out, rise above the bodily concept, be in this world but not of this world, be in tune with the soul and with God. This is the purpose of chanting the holy names of the Lord. Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare.
Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare.
To transcend the temporary conditions which are the source of all problems in this world. And Lord Chaitanya said, when one tastes the sweet fruit of this love, he becomes completely satisfied, so nourished, that even in this life, he no longer has to suffer. But Lord Chaitanya said, I have so many fruits. I have innumerable fruits. I cannot distribute all of them myself. So I'm begging all of you, please, kindly, help me distribute these fruits of love of God. And he said, that is the supreme greatest charity. It is the number one form of welfare work in this world. To help liberate a person from all miseries forever. Body, mind, soul. As long as a person has a body, we have to try to do everything possible we can to make their body healthy and strong. We must encourage them with sweet, loving words to make their mind strong. But in and of itself, those two things are not enough. If we really want to do the highest welfare, we must bring about a transformation of a person's heart. Lord Chaitanya said, to help me distribute these fruits of love of God is the greatest charity and the greatest offering of compassion in this world. So when he would be going through the roads, he would simply be distributing these fruits of love of God through the name, through the holy name, to everyone and anyone without discrimination. It didn't matter low caste, high caste, man, woman, Indian, Pakistani, Russian, Hindu, Muslim, Christian, Jew. Lord Chaitanya, as far as he was concerned, everyone is an eternal soul. Purification means coming above all these temporary designations, which are all only in contact, only in pertinence to the body. But when he wanted to preach, when he wanted to speak philosophy, he really taught by his example that first you must penetrate a person's heart, then what you say will work. Just like a doctor has medicine. You have to get that medicine to go in and be assimilated by the blood. Otherwise, even the best medicine is useless. Just like an injection. You may have great medicine, but if you do not have that hypodermic needle to get it in the bloodstream, it's useless. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taught, first you have to reach a person's heart. Then you can give that heart something great. And how did he demonstrate? When he went to Varanasi. The most hard-hearted, atheistic philosophers and scholars were living there, headed by Srila Prakashananda Saraswati Thakur. He was very, very... He was famous. He had tens and thousands of disciples. And every one of them was staunch sannyasis. Completely celibate, powerful as anything, and they had learned all the scriptures inside, outside, upside, and downside. And they knew, they were just brilliant scholars. But their conclusion was that you are God, I am God, let us enjoy the position of God. They had not even a trace of understanding of humility and service. Total ego in the name of religion. And the Vaishnavas, the devotees of the Lord, would go nowhere near these people. They would avoid them like a plague. And these people were the greatest, Prakashananda and his disciples were the greatest blasphemers when they heard about Lord Chaitanya. They started saying, this sentimental fool, he's a sannyasi, yet he's dancing like women and children. He He doesn't know anything about Vedanta. He may convert so many of these foolish, unintelligent, illiterate people, but we are great scholars, Vedantists. He'll never get anywhere here with us. So it is said, he convinced against his will is of the same opinion still. How do you preach to someone like this? Huh? It's not possible. But Lord Chaitanya taught us how to make it possible. He was invited to enter into the assembly of Prakasananda and his disciples, who were all sitting on a very high raised platform. He came into the room, and on the side of the room, there was a place where everyone would wash their feet before coming in. So he washed his feet, and then he sat right at the doorway next to where everyone was washing their feet. Huh? What is this? Prakasananda looked at him. Everyone looked at him. He was so beautiful. His Brahmin effulgence was attracting their hearts. But more than anything, his humility. Here's a sannyasi, and he's sitting at the foot wash. Prakasananda's heart melted by seeing the humility of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. It melted to such an extent that he got up and he said, "Please, come sit with us on this raised platform. You are also sannyasi like us." And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, "No, I cannot. You are all brilliant Vedantists and scholars. I am just a very low-class sannyasi. I'm sentimental. I do not deserve to sit in such a high platform as you. Let me just stay here where your feet are being washed." And Prakasananda understood, such a person. He was so attracted by this humble state of mind that he personally got up and he took Lord Chaitanya by the hand and he said, "You please come sit next to us." And he brought him over. Because he did that seva, because he offered seva, service, his heart was ready to hear the truth. Until a person performs seva, engages in some sort of devotional service, knowing or unknowing, it's impossible for such a person to understand properly the philosophy of Krishna consciousness. So then Lord Chaitanya began to speak. He was asked by Prakasananda, "Why don't you come and study Vedanta with us? We are all manifestations of God. You should be with us. Become God." Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, No. I am a great fool. My Guru Maharaj told me that you are such a fool, there's no use in you even studying Vedanta. You should just chant the holy names of Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram. He said, and then you will be cleansed of everything and love of God will awaken in your heart. So he presented himself in this way. And then Prakasananda and his followers, they began to inquire from him. And he began to preach. And then they presented their arguments. And he just destroyed their arguments on the basis of philosophy, logic, and Shastra, scripture. And after going through a dialogue with Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and being completely defeated on every point, they realized this is the greatest scholar in all of creation. This person must be God himself, otherwise how could he defeat us so simply? How could he know the scripture so perfectly? How could he be so philosophical? And yet, he considers himself a fool and sits at the foot wash? If he considers himself a fool, what kind of fools we must be. We're such fools, we forgot that we're fools. They all surrendered. He said, what should we do? He said, Vedanta means the end of the conclusion of the Vedas. The conclusion of the Vedas in this Kali Yuga is to chant God's name. Huh? All your Vedanta is only valid so much you come to this conclusion. So let us chant. And then Prakasananda and all of his 10,000 disciples, they all had wonderful kirtan. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare. In this way, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explained that in preaching first by your qualities of a servant of the Lord, you must penetrate a person's heart. Then you can inject the medicine. Our Guru Maharaj used to say, in like a needle and out like a plow. Huh? You must go into a person's heart like a needle. Just very humble and sweet, you just go in. And then once you're in, you come out like, what is it? You come out like a plow. What does it mean to come out like a plow? That means you just rip all his material conceptions apart. Huh? And when the heart of a conditioned soul is properly plowed, then the seed of love will grow very nicely. So this is how Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu spread his mercy, giving the charity of love of God in his direct personal form. But it describes that his avirbhava, when he wanted to simply give pleasure to his devotees, he would manifest through their bhava, even though his physical form was in a different place. Example is Mother Sachi Devi. You know, Sachi Mata was his mother. She was incarnation of Mother Yashoda. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was incarnation of Sri Krishna. Sachi Mata, how much she loved the Lord. She would do anything for the Lord. Unmotivated, uncompromising love. It is described when Lord Chaitanya was just a little boy, he used to play all kinds of tricks just to demonstrate the love of his mother. Just to show the world what kind of love a person has. So sometimes at one stage, he was so beautiful with his golden complexion and his lotus eyes, and he was so charming and so sweet that whoever saw him or heard his ambrosial words, their hearts would just melt. But sometimes God, he is the supreme in every sense. When God wants to be angry, he can be very angry. And when he wants to be sweet, he can be sweeter than the sweetest. So as this little boy, he wanted that whatever he asked for would be brought to him immediately. So one day he said to his mother, Sachi Mata, I want to go to worship the Ganges. So please bring me sandalwood pulp and bring me scented oils and bring me a nice flower garland. So she said, here is the sandalwood pulp and here is the scented oils. Give me just a few minutes and I'll get you a nice garland. He said, few minutes? I want it now! And then he became so angry, he just picked up a stick and went in the house. And you know, in those days, everything was contained in clay pots. He broke every clay pot with the stick. There was ghee flowing everywhere and oils flowing everywhere, and there was grains and there was dal and there was spices. He destroyed everything on every shelf. And when everything was completely obliterated and the whole place was a mess, he started beating on the walls, on the windows, on the doors. And when he completely beat the whole house, he went outside and started beating on the ground and on the trees. And then he just laid down and fell asleep. Huh? Now, if you did this, what would your mother do? Don't experiment. Just with your imagination. She would be very annoyed. She would probably call the police. Huh? But anyways, Mother Sachi Devi, she loved her child so much. And she was a widow without her husband. She was just, it was just her and him. Her husband died, Jagannath Puri, Jagannath Mishra. And her eldest son left the house and took sannyas. And she had six daughters who all died after birth. So the only thing she had in her life was this little child, Nimai. So she just very patiently, without the slightest bit of anger, she just started cleaning all the house. Why did she clean it? So when Nimai would wake up, everything would be nice for him. Huh? She cleaned everything very nice. She took dirt and put it on the oils and then swept it out. And she, whatever was she could fix, she fixed. Everything was just right. Then she went and got the garland. And she just gently said, Nimai, my son, Nimai, I have brought your garland. I'm sorry I'm late. Now you enjoy and go to the Ganges. And he just got up and he went to the Ganges. And then he came back and the whole house was clean. Everything was very nice. And she said to him, you know, Nimai, for me, as long as you're happy, I'm happy. But the problem is, you know, we're very poor Brahmins. We have no money. And all the food has been destroyed. What you're doing is, it's your food. It's your house. And now, tomorrow, when you pick up your books to go to school, we'll have no food to give you. What should I do? Nimai said, Krishna provides. Don't worry, Krishna will provide. Huh? Just a little boy. So the next day he picked up his books, he went to school, and he came back with two big blocks of gold. And he said, Mother, here, take this. Because he's Krishna, he can produce anything. He created all the gold in the universe, he can create two blocks. But his mother is not thinking he's Krishna. She's thinking he is my beloved child. Here is this gold. She said, ah, what, are you just carrying this gold around in your books? This is worth so much. Where did you get this? He just said, from Krishna. And then he went in the room to study, just nonchalantly. So in this way, we can understand her love was simply for his pleasure. She had no consideration of what labors, what unfairness, anything. Unconditional love, whatever makes him happy, is my life and soul. So it is described after Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was 24 years old, he accepted the renounced order of sannyas and he left home. And his mother, she missed him so much. She especially missed cooking for him. Every day, although Lord Chaitanya was in Jagannath Puri, she was living in Navadvip Dham. Every day when she would cook for the Lord, everything he would like, he would personally appear to eat all of those foods. And she'd put the food in the deity room, and she'd offer it to her Lord, to her boy, and to the deities, and she'd come out, and she'd come back, and there was nothing there. But she was so humble. She was thinking, I must have cooked everything and brought the plates on empty and forgot to put it in the plates. So then she'd take the plates again and fill them again and bring them. She was thinking, some sort of mistake I have made. But every day this was happening. So she was thinking, maybe in my old age I'm going crazy. Every day I'm forgetting to put everything. I'm sure I put it, then I come and it's empty. So Lord Chaitanya sent one of his servants, one of his associates, to Navadvip just to tell Sachi Mata that I'm eating your food. Why are you like this? you're inviting me, I'm coming and eating. And then he gave a whole list of everything that she cooked and how he liked every preparation. This spinach, sak, very, very nice. You made this. And then she was convinced, how my son so loving. I don't know how he does it, but he does. He comes every day and eats whatever I cook. And it is described, whenever there was kirtan and Lord Nityananda was present, or whenever there was kirtan at the house of Srivas Thakur, where all the devotees were present, even when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was hundreds, thousands of miles away, he would appear in that kirtan. And his intimate devotees, all of them could feel his presence dancing amongst them. And some of those devotees who were especially dear to the Lord, they could actually see him with their spiritual vision. This is called avirbhava, where the Lord appears to give pleasure to his devotees, to give his mercy to his devotees through the loving feelings of those devotees. And then there is avesh. Avesh is the third way the Lord appears to give mercy. That is when he completely empowers one of his servants. Shaktivesh, avesh. That means his mercy flows through one who is a selfless, pure instrument of his mercy. One who has no false ego, no sense of false prestige. One whose only motivation in life is simply to be an instrument and let God do everything through me. There is a story of Nakula Brahmachari. Nakula Brahmachari was living at the time of Sri Chaitanya. Nakula Brahmachari was living at the time of Sri Chaitanya. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was living in Jagannath Puri. Nakula Brahmachari was in Bengal, and he was preaching. And all of the symptoms of Lord Chaitanya's love of God were manifesting on his body. And whatever he would speak, he would treat Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would simply speak through him. He was such a clean, clear vessel of mercy. And it came to be known by the masses that this Nakula Brahmachari, he was like a man who was possessed by a ghost. Do you know what happens when people get possessed by a ghost? That ghost becomes so powerful within you that just pushes your soul aside and just takes over all the activities of your body. This is called being haunted. Huh? He would hear Lord Chaitanya speaking through his mouth, and he was just thinking, this is wonderful. I'm not doing anything. I'm just like a puppet. You know puppets? The puppeteer pulls string, and you go like this. And he pulls another string, you go like this. Pulls another string, you go like this. Like this. Huh? I have one broken string here. But in this way, it's like a puppet. It's whatever. Prabhupada prayed for this avesh in his own life. When our Guru Maharaj was going to America, 70 years old, he just had two heart attacks, he just came across the Atlantic, he didn't know anyone, he had no money. He was praying to Krishna, he wrote in his prayers, that let me just be your puppet. Just make me dance, make me speak, make me do whatever you want me to do. He was praying for this avesh empowerment. So Nakula Brahmachari was giving the fruits of love of God to the thousands and thousands upon people. And Shivananda Sen, one very great devotee of Lord Chaitanya, he heard about this. That everyone is saying that Lord Chaitanya is living in the body of Nakula Brahmachari? I find this very hard to believe. He was doubtful in his mind. So he said, I am going to go there and test him. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has given me a mantra called the Gaur Gopal Mantra, consisting of four syllables. Nobody knows I have this mantra except Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. If Nakula Brahmachari can tell me my mantra, I will believe that Lord Chaitanya is personally empowering him. So he came to that village where Nakula was preaching. There were lakhs upon lakhs of people coming for his darshan. Huh? And Shivananda Sen was just way in a corner, unseen. And Nakula Brahmachari said to one of his servants, he said, Shivananda Sen is somewhere here. You find him and tell him to come. So the person just went into the audience, Shivananda Sen, where are you? Here I am. He says, Nakula Brahmachari wants you. I said, how did he know him? I'm here. He knows. So he went to Nakula Brahmachari and he pranams. Nakula Brahmachari gave him pranams. And the first thing Nakula Brahmachari said was, your mantra is Gaura Gopal, now give up your doubts. Huh? And Shivananda Sen paid obeisances to his lotus feet and said, yes, you are truly a instrument in the hands of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to distribute these fruits of love of God. Of course, we may not be in such an exalted position, any of us, but according to our capacity, by simply cleansing our hearts, by simply purifying our minds, we too can become pure vessels for the Lord's mercy to come through us to give real welfare to this world. The fruits of love of God are available to all of us abundantly when we free ourselves from these material designations and we surrender with all humility in his service. Then by the grace of Sri Krishna, he can give hundreds and millions and billions of these fruits for us to nourish the world with. And this is the charity that we are all longing to offer to suffering humanity. That while we're in this world, we must do everything we can to make people whatever the best they can be in this world. But ultimately, we want to bring people out of this world, out of the bodily conception, in the spirit of pure love and devotion, where life is eternal, full of knowledge, and full of bliss. Is there any questions? So, these fruits of love of God, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explained, and all the scriptures and all the acharyas tell us that these fruits of love of God are very sweet. And the water which gives life to these fruits is the holy name. By distributing the holy name of God, anyone who sincerely and receptively receives it, their lives will be transformed. Pure devotion, pure love, pure mercy and compassion will naturally flow from their minds, from their hearts, in the form of everything they do and everything they say. So really, some people, they silently pray, let there be peace on earth. And that is very nice. And we should do that. But greater than that is to rise, to lift our arms to the sky, to harmoniously, together, chant the holy names, and spread the love and the mercy of God throughout the atmosphere of this world. This is why we come together for kirtan, not simply for our own benefit. Japa, we get our own benefit. But in kirtan, we are spreading God's love throughout the entire creation. So everyone, please rise.